Long intro, short.
No intro.
Right into the show.
Right into the show.
You got your mojo.
Hold on a second. Let me say a few things. Let me say a few words.
Okay.
We had a good time on the 4th of July.
Yep.
And I've got a couple things. This has been about 10 days, I think, since we had anything to say.
This is July show, part two. Yeah,
part two, that's right. And I'm getting ready to go to K-Fest.
Yep.
That's the Apple II geek thingy, which is going to be great again.
Not to be confused with K-Fed.
No, that's not at all. Well, we got a lot of things to talk about. Even though it's been 10 days, I had to let some of the stuff slide under the table. But before I get into all the introductions, I did want to say hello to a couple of people that have come in. Our listenership appears to be down a little bit.
What?
Well, only because I think that a lot of people are signing up on the being notified some other way. But I did notice that we got the one from Sweden again, Kiruna. Now, for those of you who don't know, Kiruna is in way up in northern Sweden where it's like above the Arctic Circle.
It's cold.
It's cold up there. So I wanted to say,
Jimmy's keeping him warm.
Hey, Gube Kiruna. And by the way, this guy is like, it's what's interesting I find out about this. We get some statistics on the Jimmy Doan show. And this guy has like searched on Google 18 times in the last month or so for Jimmy Doan. I'm thinking, couldn't find it. Yeah, no, he found it right away. Oh, that's okay. Not the point. The point is, it's about time to bookmark.
That's just the way he does it.
That's right.
Well, I'm guilty of that sometimes, too.
Hello to Ireland. Hello to the United Kingdom. Of course, our friend, Bernie.
Yep.
Always want to say hello to Bernie.
Bernie.
Cheerio.
Cheerio, Bernie. That's right. We always loved our UK correspondent. Woodbury, Tennessee. Murfreesboro. They're the same place. I don't even know.
Same place, different name.
Different name, I guess so. But I did notice, of course, Hanger Dogs, but it finally put out a new show, and they're doing
biannual shows.
In fact, they got another one coming out real soon. They just did one last Monday.
Okay, well, ours will probably be up there first then.
We win.
Yeah, we lose. That's right. It's amazing how many people are from Moscow want to listen to us. Russia, I'm talking about, not Ohio.
That's right.
There's like 100,000 homeless people in St. Petersburg.
We're big
buzz. Yeah, they
just their hat and their iPod. That's it.
They're shaking.
But the one thing that did come to note was that somebody from Huntersville, North Carolina, found us with the following search words: buy a gun silencer.
Nice.
Now, I don't know whether we're number one on that, but it's a little
screaming to the front.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Browning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we had zoo attacks also as one of the keywords apparently that brought us up. So,
Engineer Eric works wonders with our Google, man.
Yeah, no, we do. We do. We have a great stuff. Anyway, a couple of things I'm going to talk about.
We come up number one on like a million terms.
Hey, but seriously, if you need a gun silencer, you know, we got one. Just email jimmy@jimmydoan.com.
Yeah, that's all. Don't do anything else, though.
That's right.
But we're going to talk a little bit today about civil rights and Waco Redux. You know, the Waco is where they killed the kids, and I want to talk a little
bit. The
Davidian. All right, go for it.
But we're going to go with that. But anyway, before I get started, I want to introduce you. Jack Rhodes is here.
Hey, I am here.
Counselor Curtis is going to bring in our legal stuff.
You wouldn't know Jack was here, would you?
No, you wouldn't know. And Engineer Eric, of course.
Hey.
As always. Okay. One of the first things is, and you guys can weigh in on this stuff, is the aftermath of the London bombing and so forth.
7/7, as they call it, right?
Was that what it was?
I believe it was, 7th.
No, it was before that.
No, it was before that.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, they had a bomb on the 7th, I believe. So.
They're all over the place. You know, the simple fact is that it's all the news. The point is that the Germans have come in. They apparently have strangled a couple of the, terrorist attacks or whatever. But the problem is they're doing the same thing that we are here, and that is, I'm just reading here, Germans weigh civil rights against public safety. And this is always the question, and we've talked about this on the Jimmy Doan show previously about the Ben Franklin thing. Those that will sacrifice a little bit of freedom for a little bit of security soon have neither or deserve neither, as you may.
For essential securities.
Right. So anyway, the point is Germany, fearful of being the next major target for Islamic terrorists, is edging away from its deep aversion to intrusive and harsh enforcement tactics, provoking a storm of protest from those who recall the official brutality of Nazism and communism decades past. There were several things in this article that I thought were interesting. I think this is an AP article from July 12th in Frankfurt. Given the growing concern, several experts, always experts, said it's time for Germany to reevaluate the balance between personal liberties and collective security in its counterterrorism policy. And they want to know, one of the guys asking, how far can we go legally? And this is what they always ask. And we usually, what governments do, as you know, is they go past what they can go legally.
They've pushed the envelope before in Germany. We know that.
Well, they have. But he said Germany needed to close other loopholes in its laws. Apparently, they have a loophole, they call it, in their law that distinguishes between giving material support to a terrorist group, which is a crime, and simply promoting its message, which is not, I thought was interesting.
Right. Yeah.
As long as they stay away from the tattooed skin lamps and all, then they're good this time. So.
You mean human skin?
Right.
Yeah, okay. Other skin's probably okay.
Mingala.
Okay. Anyway, sensing a growing threat, Germany's top security official, Wolfgang Schäuble, is breaking down the resistance within the government to surreptitious online searches of computers belonging to people they deem suspicious. And he's pushing to allow security forces to shoot down a plane commandeered by hijackers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they also want to approve killing terrorist leaders abroad, which I thought is interesting that the,
right.
Well, the, what's interesting, I don't know if you know this, but one of the leaders of a country, of one of the Islamic countries, in fact, offered a multi-million-dollar reward for the killing of a civilian in another country. You know all about that, right?
Oh, I presume it happens all the time.
This is the Salman Rushdie thing.
Okay, right.
And the Khomeini offered like $2 million or something for the head. I mean, it's stunning that a church leader, if you want to call it that, a faith church leader.
I'm an evidence.
Because the guy wrote fiction, and for the crime of writing fiction, was condemned without a trial. Thank you so much. To
Salman
death
Rushdie.
By the head.
Oh, they had a trial.
Yeah.
He flipped a coin.
Yeah.
You were at that trial? Oh.
Yeah. Did you get the memo?
Dead. Yeah. Well, what I find interesting about this article is how much it applies to us here in the United States. There apparently a lot of the Turkish and Muslim population are protesting the recent tightening of German immigration laws. Does that sound like anything? Yeah. No, I mean, does that sound anything like protests in this country, although substitute something else for Turkish and Muslim? How about, Latino and Spanish? I don't know. I thought it was interesting. They wanted Mr. Schäuble has been calling for more muscular policies. I love the way this article is written. A seasoned Christian Democratic leader, Mr. Schäuble, 64, is regarded as a shrewd tactician and so forth, has not hesitated to seize on terrorist threats at home or abroad to press his agenda. And this is always the way it is, especially abroad. The London bombings, and he says, "Oh well, now we have to tighten down the screws here at home, put everybody away." But it gets on down here. As somebody says, and this is so true, the time-honored tactics of terrorists is to draw governments into overreacting. And they've, of course, succeeded in this country. And we'll see some more here in a little while. But the hate crime bill, isn't that coming up on
Tuesday? The House is voting on the new anti-hate bill. So the freedom of speech is now in jeopardy, is one of the headlines here.
Well,
doom to free talk radio.
And us, probably.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Doom, I like that. Well, one thing we do, it'll be interesting, as our last Jimmy Doan show, that is not the former Jimmy, not the previous one, but I mean the final one that we do, will be punctuated with bursts of AK, or I guess with the...
bursts of gunfire.
You'll hear it in the background.
Sporadic gunfire.
We always have some of those, though. That's just the normal old Jimmy.
Yeah. No, but this will be for real.
Yeah, exactly.
But I love
the sampling on there was great. And the way they all acted they got shot to pieces.
That's right. And I love this. Of course, right away, the capitalist mentality comes apart. They've come out with T-shirts. And the slogan on the T-shirts is Stasi 2.0. Stasi 2.0, which is Stasi, of course, was the East German, secret police. And 2.0 refers to, a new and improved version.
Right.
I mean, I love it. It's just, you have to be there. Peter Waldman, a terrorist expert and emeritus professor at University of Augsburg, said that even a major attack would not overturn the German consensus in favor of protecting individual rights. I call bullshit. he may be a terrorism expert, but he don't know anything about it. I mean, people will flee. I mean, they will flee into the arms of, quote, security, into the hands of a dictator in 2 seconds. It happens all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the first thing. So anyway, they talk about draconian proposals. And the last thing is he's trying to force our society to... the reason that people, the apologists for this guy, who wants to tighten everything down, he's trying to force our society to face up to these really difficult questions, for example, killing a terrorist. The German public has tried to stick its head in the sand, ignoring this dimension of this unorthodox war.
Oh?
Well, exactly. One of the things that people do so often is to collectivize everything. The German public is sticking its head in the sand. What the hell is he talking about? I mean, that's, you know, the German public is a fiction. I mean, it's just a bunch of words. Hey,
speak for yourself, buddy.
Yes, speak for yourself. Exactly. So anyway, I thought that was interesting that the Germany, a country about the size of Texas, I guess, and a population, I think, of like 40 million, is having the same, you know, the same thing that we're going through.
There are so many points in that story that we're going to cover today in different ways.
That's right. So the hate crime bill, we want to segue into that in a minute.
Well, you can segue into it right now if you
okay.
want.
Okay, yeah, no, because I just heard about this a few minutes ago.
Yeah, well, and again...
It hasn't exactly been made headlines.
No, that's what I can't believe.
I mean, this is mind-blowing. The House is getting ready to vote.
Right.
Okay, now how does this thing go anyway?
It gets this. It's a... I love this. It's an amendment to the Children's Safety Act.
the little Billy
the
law.
Little Billy, yeah. Basically,
who can argue against the children?
You can't. Exactly. You can't do it.
You
vote against the children.
Yep. This federal legislation orchestrated by the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith or something. I don't know.
That's a Jewish app.
Right. Will lead to creation of a anti-hate bureaucracy in America similar to what now exists in Canada. Apparently in Canada, it's a hate crime to publicly criticize such federally protected programs, protected groups as homosexuals and Jews. In Canada, free speech... talk radio no longer exists, and it is even illegal now in some areas to evangelize or prophesize in public.
Wait, let me get this straight. So in other words, if you wear a sandwich sign around that says the end is near and start handing out brochures telling people how to avoid the end, or I don't know.
Cue the AK.
Yeah,
sound.
I guess then you're done.
Bah, 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 bah,
and so... And
they don't have like talk. Of course, they can listen to the Jimmy Doan show, as they do. We have listeners from Canada,
right?
But basically, in other words, a radio station in Canada, like if we were to be up there on an actual radio station, they'd raid the place.
I believe so.
It's funny too because I've noticed the emails we've got from Canada always ask us to not mention their name on the radio. Hey, don't give me a shout out.
That's right. Don't
mention where.
Not
I'm
even
from.
A location.
Don't
that's
talk
right.
about it at all.
That's right.
Yeah. In fact, we have no listeners in Canada.
That's right. I meant to say that. That's right.
Well. Extensively punishing only violent hate crimes, nevertheless creates an anti-hate bureaucracy through several means.
Every crime's a hate crime.
Well,
I hate that guy. I'm going to punch you in the head.
I hate the people that wrote this. anyway, it breaks down all barriers between federal and states' rights and law enforcement. It allows federal thought police to meddle upon the flimsiest of pretexts in states' enforcement and civil rights
laws. Look, this is just a... This
Minority
just a,
Report, here we come.
Well, look, this is just an aggravator is all it is. I mean, there's lots of aggravators they always pass onto laws, which make them stiffer. I mean, they're just toughening up the sentencing, basically. They're going to attach it to something called the speech that surrounds the criminal act. Okay, fine, whatever you want to do. They've done things like that where they pass the rules which say if you sell drugs, you get one penalty. But if you sell drugs within 1,000 feet of a church, there's a totally different penalty.
Okay, yeah, much, much harsher.
Right.
It requires all states to pass and enforce ADL-style anti-hate laws. It also enforces nation...
I wonder how they're going to bribe the states on that one. Probably
right.
take away their... Usually what they do is take away their highway funds.
Money, yeah. It enforces nationwide the working ADL definition of hate as being bias against federally protected groups, such as homosexuals. Such automatically makes the Bible into hate literature and preaching from it into hate speech. Result, Bible-believing Christians become potential hate criminals.
Aren't they a protected group?
Apparently there's this thing's got loopholes that go around to the front.
No!
They're protected from being hated on, but they're not protected from hating on somebody else.
Okay.
Right.
So they can offend, but you can't offend them.
Well, I'm gonna. As a matter of fact, that brings something else that I'm gonna talk about.
The Pope.
Yes, let's finish up on that just real quick. I mean, is there anything else you wanted to add? I mean, this to me is stunning. Of course, this is the slow strangling noose business.
Yeah,
one thing at a time. Let me ask you this. This is actually, like you said, an extender. There has to be a crime. Is that right? In other words, the actual hate speech is not the crime. Is that
right?
Correct?
Not here in America. The hate speech itself.
That's what they're trying to make it.
Well, they
apparently to protest this, you can call 1-877-762-8762 And
or of course 1-866-95-JIMMY.
Yeah, or 1-8. What is that number? 1-866 dial tone.
It just dial a prayer.
1-866 busy signal. Right. What is that?
That's where it goes. Great. Good videos.
Voicemail. Whatever.
Right. F you.
That's right.
And so anyway, it's one of those things that you know, as they said, it's the provisioning in this bill is so broad that there's going to be all kinds of unintended consequences.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, of course, I would like to know. I would like to know how many pages it is.
Well, you know it's a bunch.
Well, what I mean is I have found that almost any bill that's... Of course, it's a rider on another bill,
right,
which is interesting. So that's what they always do. You know, they'll have the Old Persons Relief Act, and attached to it is the Children's Welfare Act or something.
Right.
That has nothing to do with it. Or, you know, the Tire Safety Act or something. I mean, nothing to do at all with whatever the bill is.
Well, old people drive, and they use cars, and so the tire safety...
They don't even... You know, they've gotten that so far away, they don't even care anymore. It could be so unreal. It could be the opposite bill attached to it as far as they... You know, they could have a Water Preservation Act with, you know, with a pollution, pollution trade-off act at the same thing. They don't care. These people are... mindless.
It brings up. We got several, even more that relate directly to that. There was the toy gun ban.
Oh my God. Is the toy gun ban going to have the senator's name on it or what? This is going to be local. This is only New Jersey.
Right. It's a state
this
law.
This is phenomenal.
No toy guns at all.
No.
They got to be purple.
Let me read this.
Something.
This is from July 11th. 7-Eleven. You know, I roll them dice. A New Jersey senator wants to make it illegal to sell or give anyone under age 18 toy guns that look so realistic they can be mistaken for a real firearm.
Huh.
Well, you know, of course, one of the things that we had a thing, a big moneymaker, you know, a couple years ago, which we were going to go to China and get the balloons.
Here at the Jimmy Doan Show.
At the Jimmy Doan Show, we're going to have the official Jimmy Doan AK-47s that you could pack up as a balloon.
That's
you know, it'd be like a little package about 4 inches by 4 inches by, and you could take that on the airplane, but then you blow it up, and it looks exactly like an AK-47. We thought
and
about
you can get
Jimmy Doan written across the
screen. No, well, you know, special signed by Jimmy Doan, whatever it is. Now, that would be signed in camo. So you might not see it right off the bat, but the and then
or,
we'd have
or under a microscope.
Or certainly electron microscope. Pick it up. Since we would arrange the atoms in the shape of my signature.
Right.
But the other thing is we had thought about having two models, one that you'd alternate them. One you would have a red flame leaping out the front of it so that it looked like it's firing. And the other one not. So
it's great. We sold 15 of each model before we even went into production.
Yeah, they're not even in production yet.
Yeah, I like the inflatable bombs, you know, that just look like it's just a round
bomb with a fuse on it, with a little red fuse on it. Well, of course, the other thing is we got from Hangar Dogs. I didn't realize this, but they're in we want to get one of these bad.
Right.
I'm digressing, of course, from the toy gun. We're coming back to the toy gun.
We digress.
They have... They are building
aerial targets.
Aerial targets. I mean, they look.
Those are great. I want one.
I told them. I said, you know, send me one.
These are life size. Looks like a tank. Three dimensional.
With rocket launchers.
I'm talking spec military paint colors.
Camo, everything.
Unbelievable.
Well, they used to use
put one in your backyard and see the spy satellite when it flies over and it says, "What's that doing there?" You think they'd come into your house? Think they'd knock on your door?
We'd set it out back and start the stopwatch and see how long it took.
Put it out there with a bunch of metal filing so it'll give off a radar signal.
You'd have predator drones over your house like a hornet's, you know.
That's right. Well, I might be tempted to stick it in my neighbor's lawn as a first test.
Right.
You do it when they go away to vacation. You just roll it
right,
into their...
Yeah. Well, the other thing I thought about doing was getting... I was going to see if they would make me up a... they have... Most of the stuff is armored vehicles.
Right.
They'd like to take those out. But I was wondering if they'd make me up a howitzer, and I thought that would make a great thing for the stand for my mailbox.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
You know, just have the howitzer standing out there, so mailbox dangling off the barrel.
This is like plywood stuff or something, relatively lightweight.
Well, it could be, I'd want a little more substantial than that. I'd say probably make it out of some kind of industrial steel.
Right.
And, you know, make it kind of more, a little more realistic than plywood.
Well, I checked it out.
And maybe
it was great,
actually be able to fire it would be cool.
So Hangar Dogs, you know, send us one. You know?
Yeah, right. Well, pack it up.
Well, this guy wants to ban everything even remotely related to that kind of thing.
I mean, can you... They're talking about water pistols.
Nerf shooters.
His bill says that it's any gun that could reasonably be mistaken for a real gun.
Let me tell you the thing that what's interesting about that, of course, is they blasted that guy to little bits and pieces with like 23 shots in New York because his cell phone looked like a gun.
Well, exactly. That was my next point. Was that
hello? What looks like a gun these days? If you reach around, if you do any, can you imagine, especially at dusk? And you point at somebody, and you are empty clips after clip after clip into your body. You weigh more after the shooting than before, substantially more.
Well, yeah. Now, I thought that that's what the purpose of the bill was, and that's where this guy was going with it. Because the only kid I could remember that ever died that way was the kid in Die Hard, where the black cop had shot him. That's why he was out on...
Sam Jackson? What?
Wait a minute, which Die Hard was it?
The first Die Hard. Remember the cop he was talking to? The reason he was out not on patrol instead of out on the streets was...
Oh, right, because he shot a kid. Right, right. That's right. Yeah, that was like one bullet.
Right, and it was a movie, is the point. Right. You know, the point is that this rarely happens.
Right.
You know, and so, I mean, this guy's trying to protect this, but if you read between the lines here, what he says is he's worried about the psychology of these kids. What he says is that... these kids, we need to stress to our children that guns are not toys, that they are deadly weapons, which should always be regarded with extreme caution and handled with respect. I mean, guns are not toys, unless they're toy guns, you know?
But think of the children.
Yeah, exactly. He just has forgotten what a toy is. I mean, it's a toy. It's like, that's like saying, well, you don't want children playing with, you don't want them, the people to think that cars are toys, so you can't play with toy cars.
Right. You think about all the little plastic soldiers and everything else you got.
Yeah, exactly.
And think about all the kids that run around, I don't know if they do it anymore, but they have
jets.
G.I. Joe with the kung fu grit,
yeah,
man.
No,
but I mean, cowboys and Indians, you know.
It's all true. Now, if you look at this guy, first of all, he's 1 year older than I am. All right.
Okay.
He's 38. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
Not a lot of life experience there. Second of all, he has a BA in psychology.
Right away, you know he's, as you well know, I say that more than half the people in psychology go there to find out what's wrong with themselves.
It's true. And this guy, this whole bill exemplifies that, I think. You know, if you ask
me. I love this. Of course, what I like is the... they got Walmart to stop doing apparently something like this, and they got them to pay $200,000 fine, which is nothing. I mean, of course, it's no big deal. But apparently,
still.
I didn't realize this. Apparently, there are some other states that have this on the books, the toy guns that look realistic under 18. And of course, they want to haul off, according to this, which I like about this, they want to haul off the person, the under 18 year old person, the 17 year old. With $1,000 fine and 6 months in jail.
No. They're going to haul off the person who gives it to them. They're going to haul off the parent. If you live in New Jersey, KB Toys, and you give your parents, if we have relatives in New Jersey and we send them a toy gun in the mail this Christmas, it could be a misdemeanor.
Hey man, who do we know in New Jersey?
And we get extradited. Well, we're going to know.
If you're living in New Jersey, send us your address.
We're going to send you a gun.
Well, we're going to send you some Jimmy John.
I loved that Prison Planet had this article, and in the middle of their article, they implanted a link to buy toy guns.
Let me ask you this though: the bill stems from an incident in a Union Township in New Jersey. It says here where four students were suspended after bringing a toy cap gun to school.
Right.
Okay, now that's, of course, we've known that for a long time, that if you bring about almost anything, a little tiny, little one-inch Swiss knife or anything, you're out. You're gone.
No, I've heard cases where you saw in the Michael Moore movie where the kid points a chicken finger at the teacher and says, bang,
right,
and they suspend him for that. You know?
Well, the thing is, who are the violators on this? In other words, if you catch the kid with the gun...
It's the giver or the seller. It's the KB store employee and the KB store manager, and it's the mom and dad who gives the kid the gift at Christmas.
Okay, so but the kid gets off scot-free.
Yeah, the kid's a kid.
So you don't imagine there would be an underground, just like there is in real guns. You know, you have kids opening, you know, with their bicycles, coming
got
along
your
with their bicycles.
And,
hey, got your guns right here, buddy.
Hey, there it is. You know, they're selling them the AK-47 plastic version.
But I love this. A parent who gives a child a toy firearm as a gift would be guilty under this legislation. Well, that's
amazing.
Don't you love it?
Well, there was that one story we talked about where the person made the person clip the on their graduation cap. all the toy guns off the soldiers.
Right, right, right. Well, they, you're right, exactly.
he was promoting the, you know, proud of, you know, war in Iraq and all the stuff. They
yes.
made him clip all the guns off the
off the
little plastic soldiers he had on his graduation cap.
This guy would be proud of that.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, my God. Well,
he's all over. Nicholas Scutari, Democrat.
That's right. Well, the speaking of laws, they're going to make, you know, you saw where the lawmaker drove over his granddaughter.
Yeah.
Oops. Now this, oopses, but I thought this was, the only reason I bring this up, it's unfortunate. I guess
tragedy.
A state senator in Green Bay, Wisconsin, drove, backed over, didn't see the little girl, what,
she ran out
old.
There, yeah.
She's like barely walking, toddler, 18, 2 months old, whatever, 2 years old, I mean. And so, but they want to pass a law now, and what they want to do is immediately the federal government, Kids in Cars, they want to call this Kids in Cars, a child safety advocacy group in Leawood, Kansas, said about 550 children are backed over a driveway parking lot every week.
550
children, 50 backed over a driveway
every week
in the United States, and at least two die. Now this is so that means
two die.
So that means 100 kids, according to this, according to them, if you can believe this statistic, you know, of course, this is a child advocacy group that has a vested interest. No interest at all, right, but they have a, this has got to be the biggest number is 100 kids die a year.
Biggest number.
The biggest, most 100 kids. So now they want to pass
a
law.
Two die, 100 are hit.
Right, now, but 100 die. A year.
Two a die per week.
Oh, they said per week?
Yeah, two die per week, right, so it's 100 a year.
Okay, right, okay, gotcha.
Anyway, they want to, of course, the thing about it, so much of this is, the tragedy is, the punishment's already done. You know, the grandfather, whoever it is, you know, mother, father, they're already ruined. I mean, it's traumatic. They're going to be in therapy.
It's trying to save the next kid is what they're trying to do. But
we're talking about 100 kids a year, and what they want to do is the Kids in Cars promoting a bill in Congress that require automakers. They would require a mandate for automakers to see what's behind them, either with a better mirrors, bigger back windows, cameras, or sensors that would automatically stop the vehicle. I could see
cars already have that stuff. So,
I like the sensors that would automatically stop them. You could have so much fun with that.
Like in traffic, when the car pulls up behind you and your car shuts down.
I mean, no, you'd throw rabbits out in front of out in back of cars and stuff like that. I mean, you'd just do it.
It could be anything. Well, I mean, I hope you didn't. Here in Florida, you'd have a hell of a time if you lived pretty much anywhere, because you go backing down a dirt road with the little grass sticking up in the center lane and in between.
And what kind of grass is that?
Just those weeds that stick up.
Oh, okay, weeds. Okay, good.
You know, when you're out in your fields,
you can't back up anymore.
That's right.
It's going to really cut down on the drug trade.
Yeah.
No.
Well, the cops would love it because they could come up behind the car and know full well that the guy shoves it into reverse to run over him, and the car won't go.
Yeah.
So that's
you got a bypass.
How long do you think that would? How long do you think that would be taken? You know, that would be about a nanosecond. Switch bypass, permanent weld.
Yeah. Well, look. Here's the bottom line: is they'll put that on anyway. The when it's practical. They already have,
as you well know, all industrial machines have got a big beeper every time.
Right.
They go.
Right.
Of course, I'm not sure 1.5-year-old kid would, you know what the hell's going on with the beeper anyway.
Beeper, hey, the beeper! Look at the beeper! Wow!
Well, I've seen some Cadillacs or some nicer cars with little sensors on the side of the wheels that sort of supposed to tell you if you're within a certain few inches of an obstruction. So, I mean, that's
the market. As always, the market will figure it out.
I mean, look, if they got sensors for when you, I guess it could be infrared though. You know, I was thinking when you're in the bathroom and you wave your hand in front of the thing, but it's probably picking up your heat. Although it could be he picked up the heat of the child.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could be.
Speaking of, before I get to the Pope, which is,
the Pope.
The Pope is good, but I did want to talk a little bit about China.
China!
Did you notice the FDA in China, if you're accused of corruption?
Yeah. The penalty's tough.
The penalty's, you know what is amazing to me, what is stunning to me, they executed this guy.
Right.
I mean, no, this is so amazing. He's the FDA, a guilty corrupt, and it turns out that what he got was like nothing compared to what the corrupt people in this country get.
It's a few million bucks.
But, and not only that, it wasn't like any 13 years of appeals. He had like 13 minutes to peace with Kung Fu.
That's right.
I mean, with Confucii or whatever
you
know.
Kung Fu.
Yeah, that's right. Waiting around.
No,
after
I mean, they took his butt out in the courtyard and lapped his head off or whatever they did.
Yeah.
Exactly. Goodbye. I mean, and I thought it was, I mean, when you look and see what he did, he was, of course, in this country, he probably would have gotten off with a slap on the wrist. He was contrite. And when they started investigating him, I mean, he started to give all the money back. His wife started to give all the money back. There was a couple $100,000 involved in this, which is like, you know, I suppose in China it's big money, but here, here's what I want to tell you about this article. And I tried to chop it down. And it started off at like 4 or 5 pages. Very extensive article in the New York Times, I think. Beijing, July 12th. The point is, he started off with the noblest of intentions. He actually was one of the premier reformers in their situation. He got rid of a lot of corruption. He got rid of a lot of the fake medicine people that he thought was fake medicine. Now, of course, in China, who knows? I mean, they said one of the things, apparently some of the old herbal remedies, it turned out they worked best if they were stirred with your feet or something like that. I guess like making wine in Italy or something. I don't know. But anyway, stopped all that. You know, got to more westernized type practices and so forth. And then, as things started to, because he was closing down about half the fake pharmacies or the ones.
Dragon Bones.
Huh?
Dragon Bones.
Crushed up
dragon
bone.
That's right.
You see that story? They were eating like Tyrannosaurus. And they thought, hey, man.
Jesus horses.
It's a dragon boat.
Yeah, they're good for you. Good for your cartilage. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, he closed down about half these places. And so people that wanted pharmaceuticals, as it were narrowed into the gap, into the remaining half. And prices started to go up. And some of the new stuff coming to market had to get through fairly quickly. And I thought it was interesting that last year they approved something like 150,000 150,000 applications for new drugs, an approval rate that dwarfs, this I love, the FDA. The FDA approves 140 new drugs a year. 140. I mean, it's like nothing. Anyway, they did 150,000, and apparently that was all
150,000.
Yeah,
1,000 to 1.
Yeah, 1,000 to 1, right? Whatever. But I mean,
they've got like an approval stamp wheels that just spins.
Well, the point is, nobody was complaining about those. What happened was, apparently, as some of this, since the pipeline was narrowed, bribes started to be paid, as you would expect.
Right.
And he being the head of this,
Jimmy, you sound like a defense attorney over there.
Anyway, he
had the best of intentions, Judge.
No, he did. But what my point on this is that the agency's higher standards, coincided with an effort by Beijing to curb soaring drug prices. Companies complained that because of their shrinking profit margins, they didn't have the money to develop new drugs, and so they exploited a loophole in the pricing regulations. Obviously, you would expect. So then the loophole was, we're going to bribe the shit up. No, they started to do that, but so that went on just not for very much. They got an Audi, a used hit Nissan or something. And I mean, I'm serious. They got like nothing. They got somebody got a house and nice place and everything. And I say in China, maybe a couple $100,000 is a big deal. But we're not talking about the 40 million that some of the guys, you know, that they get over here.
Yeah.
So anyway, then when they started to investigate him, he resigned and started giving all the stuff back. And, you know, telling everybody, whoops, you know, not good enough. Not in China, boy, I'll tell you. Exactly. But I love this. After attending a 2006 meeting of the Beijing Pharmaceutical Association, Mr. Zheng was questioned by the government's disciplinary agency. Who is that? The government's disciplinary agency.
Doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't sound good. Eventually, the court found him guilty of accepting bribes from 8 drug companies, condemned him for dereliction of duty for failing to police the drug industry or subordinates and creating regulatory schemes that allowed dangerous drugs to come to the market. Many drug company officials still defend Mr. Zheng, of course they're not dead, that he was a good man, undone by temptations that would have corrupted many people. They say that the industry was plagued by dishonesty that no regulator could have controlled, and that in a country where counterfeiting is rampant in all types of industries, where doctors and hospitals regularly accept kickbacks, that Mr. Zheng was made a scapegoat for national.
That's what I was thinking.
That's
they needed to sell all their stuff over here. People got nervous when those when that dog food came over here and killed those couple hundred dogs.
That's right, and the toothpaste.
And the fish. Remember, we talked about they detained the Chinese fish?
Yeah.
And so everybody, I'm sure there was some Chinese fish out there who said, you know what? We need to.
We gotta kill somebody.
Well, yeah, right, that's right. Exactly. There has to be. That's right.
Head gotta kill
when
somebody.
They say heads will roll,
they're not.
They're not kidding. Heads will roll on this one.
No,
boy, I'll
really.
Tell you. I like that. Yeah. Part.
Well, no, this just goes to show you: if a government program stands in the way of the market, the person in charge of that government program enters and becomes part of the market.
Right.
I mean, that's just.
It's
going to happen.
It's going to happen every time. And what's fascinating, of course, is when it happens over here, they get promotions or something. I don't know. They do pretty well over here. It's pretty rare that anybody actually goes to jail. It's happened 3 or 4 times, I guess. What's his name? Rostenkowski was one, and that guy. Ohio and Chicago are kind of notorious for some of this stuff.
It happens every once in a while that we know of over here.
Right, that we know of.
I guarantee you right now there's some FDA guy having dinner with some drug company representative.
Right.
And there's some ostensible deal on the table.
That's right. That's
and
right.
They're listening to the Jimmy Doan show laughing their heads off.
That's right. Well, I noticed that. So the point is that what they recognized here, of course, the guy died for it, which is a little strong. I thought the punishment was a little strong.
Well,
a little.
And now here's the next question. Do you think that this guy's execution is going to deter the next guy
from taking the job or from taking the bribe?
From taking the bribe.
Oh yeah, from taking the bribe.
I think so.
I
don't think so.
You don't think so?
No way.
It would never happen in the drug business, in the illegal drug business. It never does. There, in other words, if you execute, Escobar, there's a guy in a nanosecond ready to take over.
Right.
And knowing full well that he's
sugar.
Right.
But the new guy would in China here would have to find some way to at least pretend that he's honest for a while.
Well, I mean, unless we're right about the about the fact that this guy was just a scapegoat.
Ah. Well, okay. Right. That's true.
He was definitely a poster boy, whether he was a scapegoat or not. He was certainly a poster boy.
The headless poster boy.
And the headless poster
boy. Chain chin poster boy.
That's right.
Here's some shoulders.
Yeah, that's right. Put his head on a pike outside the Great Wall, outside the Forbidden City. Well, I noticed that, to continue on, I did notice that China has retaliated against us. As you know, we stopped the toothpaste and the dog food
import.
And everything like that. China blocked some imports of U.S. chicken and pork. China said late Friday, this is just like the other, like yesterday, the day before, is suspending imports of some chicken and pork produced in the United States after inspectors found shipments that were contaminated with chemicals or bacteria. And it's from Tyson Foods and Cargill, which, of course, are the big ones. And they want to guard against health risks. And they said, this was the.
We don't need no chicken. We use cat.
That's right.
We don't need your chicken.
We use dog.
They can't grow chickens and pigs over there.
They're all, the chickens are all got bird flu.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know.
Ebola chicken.
Well, no, Tyson. I mean, when you look at what Tyson does for.
Come on, that sounds like
a jillion chickens. We grow chickens more than those guys do.
Tyson's not going to be.
But what the Chinese official did say, what I thought this was interesting, because this is obviously, on some levels, a little retaliation for our blocking some of their stuff. And it's funny how the high muckety mucks in government don't give a shit about the consumer, in this. I mean, it's not like you couldn't tell when there's a Tylenol scare out in Washington State or wherever it was when somebody poisoned those Tylenol things. I mean, nobody bought any Tylenol. Market fixed it in about a nanosecond. I'm sorry, person dies. Oh, I'm sorry, contaminated Tylenol.
Throw them all away.
Done. End of story.
Empty the shelves.
That's right. Boom. Done in that second. I mean, it's just amazing how quickly the market figures it out. But the guy does say something correct, and that is 99% of its food exports to the United States are safe and meet quality standards. That still means, of course, a jillion tons. Or 1%, which, could cause a bit of a problem. But even so, he does say there is no such thing as zero risk in terms of food safety.
Yeah.
In fact, there's no such thing as zero risk in any kind of safety.
Right.
The market will figure this out. Last regulators said they'd raided over 3,000 counterfeit food factories and discovered over 30,000 cases of fake or substandard food. Well, 30,000 cases, that's about a week's supply at our local Walmart.
Yeah.
That's nothing. That's, right. That's not even. That's not even 4 decimal places out.
Look, I've been saying it for a long time. People who make food, they're not trying to poison you.
No.
I mean, they're trying to make something you can eat.
That's right. And it does come back to haunt them. But I love the way this article is written here. There's a couple of sentences that tell me 2 things. As usual, the last. But before I get to the last. The government says it is facing a daunting task in trying to improve standards and quality in this vast and overpopulated nation. I thought about this. What are you talking about, overpopulated? Do they consider it to be overpopulated? I mean...
Who, China?
Yeah.
The Chinese public.
Yeah, I mean, what? Yeah, I mean, I would say that if you're one of the overpopulatees, then you don't consider... You might consider your neighbor overpopulated, but you're not ready. You're not ready to give up. You're not ready to make the supreme sacrifice to, to help with the population control.
Right.
I don't think so. So I just think that it's interesting that this article would brand it as an
And that reminds me of the Hanoi article that you sent us as well.
Which one was that?
The one about how Hanoi is hustling and bustling these days.
Right.
And, you know, it's humming and buzzing. Oh, the economy's kicking to pieces. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Did you have anything left on the last thing?
Yeah, I got one more last thing because that Hanoi thing, I didn't print it out, but you can... I will remember it if you bring... The suspension was not the first time China has struck back at foreign companies shipping food to China. I love this. China recently blocked Evian water from France and dried apricots raised in orange pulp.
Well, that's because they thought it was called the Evian flu.
I guess. That's the only thing I can think of from the United States saying the goods were filthy or contaminated. Evian water? Evian water? Can you imagine?
I mean, directly from the Swiss Alps.
Yeah, exactly. From Evian. That's right.
Evian.
So, did you have something to say about that? I'm done with that.
Nothing on that. Just
Hanoi.
Yeah, Hanoi. It was just an analogous thing. They said, oh, it's hustling and bustling, and it's just like a cacophony of...
Right, cacophony.
Yeah.
And I think I wrote you and I said, this is capitalism, the burgeoning capitalism, laissez-faire capitalism at the best. The thing about Hanoi that you find is that it's dirty. It's very confused. It is...
confused, that's what it was. As though somebody had to understand it all.
Right.
You know?
But the point is that the beauty of it is you don't.
No.
You
exactly.
don't have to know a thing about it. All you have to know is I can walk down to the local market and I guarantee... There will be chitlins and rice available for me to buy. Anything that, and I don't care how it got here, where it came from, or anything. And if I die from it, at least I know that my neighbor probably won't buy anything from that guy again.
That's it. You know.
I know I won't. No, but the market figures all this out. It is stunning. It is stunning to me to find out how the government can step in and ruin a good thing. I'm asking myself, why? We got a perfectly good thing going here. Why are you in here ready to monkey it up and to stomp on it? And then when pointed out the error of your way, say, oh, I'll fix that.
Yeah, here's the phrase, a confused and unrelieved cacophony. Unrelieved, like this guy has no relief.
Yeah.
Well, he's got relief from hunger. He's got relief from transportation problems. I mean, he's probably been relieved of his good parking spot.
He might be.
But,
which, by the way, do you see they're selling for $250,000 a piece in New York now?
$250,000.
Yeah. What is that?
What's
that?
Parking spaces.
Oh, that was probably the record or something, but still.
No. They said their lines formed to the rear. Yeah. 225,000. They said there's 70,000 in Chicago and.
Right. 175,000 in Boston.
$250,000 a year on a parking
spot. We're talking about an 8
No, that's to own it.
To own it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's forever.
Like what one guy bought his for 90,000, he was offered 150. He goes, you know, that's a lot of. It's like not even a year later, he got offered $150,000. He goes, I think I'll just keep it. You know, and
man, can you trade in parking lot futures or what?
Well, let me tell you, this is as, and I will say this: the article that I saw the video, it was George Stephanopoulos of the Good Morning, whatever it was. He did say it sounded to him like a parking lot bubble. It absolutely sounded like that to me too. Right. I'll bet you anything that anybody that pays $250,000 for this thing is going to lose their shirts before it's all over. I'm going to think about it. I don't care who you are, even in New York City. Even in New York City, a parking spot can't cost $50,000 to build.
Right.
I mean,
The whole lot. The whole.
Right.
Even New York real estate. When you figure that you can get, you know, I guess a penthouse, which would be 20 parking places, is like $4 million. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, do the math. I mean, it doesn't take you long to figure out. Since you don't have to do anything, no watch people, no elevators, no nothing.
That must have been a special sale.
No. They said that this was the article and the video implied that this was the coming thing. That the realtor said she had people lined up ready to take the spaces. The thing, that, of course, that was a red flag for me was that people without cars were buying them.
Right.
Right away, you go, you know, whoa, hold on a second. That's a, you know, there you got a problem. Then right. somebody, that's when the speculation, when the speculators come in. I'm not saying the first ones won't make it, and I'm not saying they might not go up to $500,000 before it's all over. Bubbles are bubbles. But I'll guarantee you that it, the commodity pricing will bring it down to what the real cost of an actual, even in, with New York real estate prices, it might be $50,000. I would find that hard to believe, even in New York. But say, how far be it from me, I don't know. I know here locally, a parking spot is certainly worth between $5,000 and $10,000. Locally, believe it or not.
Downtown slot?
Gainesville. Downtown Gainesville slot's worth easily between
$5,000 and $10,000. It's kind of a long time to have
right.
a lease on.
It is, but it's worth between $5,000 and $10,000 easily. In this, in here.
Yeah, hey, man, the market bears it out.
No, it does. I love the market. So anyway, moving along, I want to talk about the Pope.
You want to take a little break here?
Oh, yeah, let's take a break. Good idea. Good plan.